Hi there, and thanks for tuning in to the Four-Eyed Radio Network. You're about to listen to another proud presentation brought to you by Revenge Lover Designs. Stand out from the crowd. For more information, visit RevengeLover.com and mention the podcast for 10% off of your order.
Hey there, it's Doug. Just a heads up, both the episodes that dropped today, episodes 85 and 86, are very late. These were recorded at, like a month to a month and a couple weeks ago in the sort of immediate wake of Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. And to be quite honest, the editing just got totally away from me, but I didn't want to leave them unreleased. So I just wanted to give you that heads up because everybody that I have talked to has since finished the game. And there's certainly some stuff that we talk about, things that we wonder about, questions that we ask that we do have the answers to now, and things that we have learned since then. So they're a little bit out of date, but they're super fun episodes. So I didn't want them to just never be released or see the light of day. So I hope you enjoy them. It's twice as much coverage as I intended to drop all at once, but hopefully that's a good thing and not too overwhelming. Enjoy. Welcome to episode 86 of Victory Road, a Pokemon podcast. It's time for another adventure in the world of Pokemon. I'm your host, Doug, and I'm Team Honchkrow, because today we are continuing to talk about Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. Of course, Victory Road is a production of the Four-Eyed Radio Network and is brought to you by Revenge Lover Designs, illustration and design to fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit RevengeLover.com. And as always, please subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you're listening. Those ratings and reviews make Victory Road much more visible and easier to find. I have a guest. Well, actually, I have two guests for this episode, but separately. So I'll introduce my first guest here, even though he needs no real introduction. He is the co-founder of this very show. My very longtime co-host is Kyle.
Hi, everybody. And before we get started, I'd just like to say I'm Team Jirachi, Incineroar, Raven Quickclaw, Magnemite's Magnus, Dracovish, Psyduck, Shiny Celebi, Snowrun, and Magnezone.
Iconic. That's Sorry. Amazing.
I had to catch up.
I'm assuming that's all of the teams since you've been gone.
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's incredible. You'll have to post that somehow so people can see. And by people, I mean me mostly. How's it going, dude?
It's going.
How's raising the Pokemon that is your child, who's over a year old now?
Yeah, tell me about it. I just got him to level one.
Beautiful. Yeah. Grinding in real life is a lot harder than in the game.
Oh my gosh, it's a year long thing, and they don't evolve until like 18, which is gonna take me like 18 years, and who even knows? Yeah. He might be holding an Everstone and want to just hang on for as long as he can. So, you know.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, we're talking primarily about Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, Pearlsenschmeimen, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, but is there anything... we can't do this for too long, because it's been a couple months, but... Yeah. Is there anything lately in the world of Pokemon that's worth shouting out outside of what we're about to dig very deep into?
Not a whole lot, really. Other than, obviously, I released the first year of my video about my son and every Pokemon. So that's been really cool.
You did at least the first year. You've made, like, the first milestone of that project.
Exactly. The next milestone is going to be all 151 of Kanto.
Yeah.
And then I go from there.
Yeah. It's so cool. Well, congrats on the first year. That is, I've never been able to do anything weekly for a year in my life.
There's been like a few times I'll be like, wait, did I post? Oh, crud, I forgot to take the picture. So it'd be like Wednesday, and I'll be like, click, okay, we're good.
Yeah.
So like, but I've been like trying to get it done like on Sundays, because he was born on a Sunday. So every Sunday I try to get it done, but there's just days that I just completely forget. Like, actually, this past week, Thanksgiving weekend and the weekend before, I was just so busy with everything, I completely forgot until yesterday. I was like, oh, we forgot to take pictures. So my wife's like, I got you for the week ago. So she just quickly threw like a Psyduck sticker on and of an old picture. And then I just took a quick one of him with Golduck and we were good to go.
There you go. There you go. I just, we'll get more into this, but I just did the, whatever the snow gym city is called. Is that Veilstone? No, that's not Veilstone. What's the snow city called?
Snow Point.
I should be able to remember that. It's literally in the name.
Yeah.
Wow. I just did that gym and quite a few Golducks in that gym, for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, wait till you get to the 8th gym leader.
Oh, I know. Yep.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that.
I was watching a playthrough, sort of like half watching a playthrough of Austin John of Austin John Plays on YouTube, or Twitch, I think maybe, where he was playing Diamond and Pearl for the first time in anticipation of these games. And I happened to be paying attention when he was playing those later gyms. And he was like, none of these Pokemon are the type that the gym says. And everyone in the chat was just like, yeah, they just kind of, you know, tweaked it for this generation. This generation really, this one and the next one in Black and White really kind of like amp up some of the weirdness factor as far as like, we've been doing this for a while, so let's mix up some things.
Yeah, like I'm all for making like some gym leaders have specialty Pokemon that aren't part of that type, but use moves of that type.
It makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. It would be because you're a rock specialist, and you send out a Charmeleon, and it knows Rock Throw. Okay, cool. Yeah. That's awesome. I'm not expecting that.
It makes certain gyms certainly more challenging, because the thing with the ice gym is you're going in there presumably with your Fire Starter or your Rapidash, and then there's a bunch of water Pokemon that also happen to know ice moves, and you're like, well, shoot, I should have brought something else with me. It really forces you to like diversify your portfolio and strategize a little bit more about going into it, which I think is good. It alienates a little bit. Well, as long as they're late in the game, it's not alienating anybody.
I wish it was every gym that did it, though, not just like the last two.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it needs to be only the last few. I could see like the first, you know how in Sword and Shield they kind of broke them up into like sections? Like the first three gym leaders were kind of treated as a trio.
Yeah.
I could see always kind of having the first three be a little bit more straightforward so that there's always an easy onboarding for like newer Pokemon players who are like getting a lay of the land. But then, yeah, mixing it up after those first two or three, I think. And really, because if you think about it, look at us. We're already getting on our tangents like we never left.
I love it.
If you think about it, like, you might know better than I am. I've been trying so hard, Kyle, to like be smarter because I can't rely on your knowledge. But I think Faulkner is like the only one who isn't explicitly like insert type here trainer. Well, I guess the chefs, but they're still type based because Faulkner's like, I'm a bird trainer. He's early in the game, so they're all still just normal flying anyway. But I don't think there are any other gym leaders that are like concept as opposed to like type based.
Isn't
Bugsy bug?
Yeah.
Bug type?
Yeah.
Are not all of his Pokemon bug? Oh, but that's a type though. It's still like a Pokemon type. Bird isn't like a type.
Well, I mean, flying.
Right, but I think Faulkner, don't they literally call Faulkner in the game a bird gym leader, or am I just making that up?
I think in the beginning, like, flying type was originally conceived to be a bird type, but then it changed.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was originally called that in the programming, too, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's a weird relic of that, but I would like to see more, I would like to see more trainers that are, or more gym leaders that mix it up, but that's certainly not for a remake game to tackle.
Blue in the Johto games, when you go to re-challenge all the Kanto gyms, Blue, I believe, has a diverse team.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes plenty of sense. Yeah, because, like, the champion, and honestly, like, ace trainers, I used to be so annoyed by ace trainers when I was a kid because they used different types. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is this? You're supposed to use one type even though I use all kinds.
Yeah.
And ace trainers now, I'm like, well, yeah, that's how it should go. I guess ace trainers are, I guess that would be like our classification if we were an NPC.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, tangent number one already in the books for this episode. I guess to rewind it for a little bit, or rewind it back just a little bit, Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl. Which one did you start with? Which one are you playing right now?
I am playing Shining Pearl.
Beautiful. I'm playing Brilliant Diamond. Look at that.
Nice. It's almost like
who did you start with? Who was your starter?
Turtwig, who I nicknamed Chia.
I saw that. That was great. I've been nicknaming my Pokemon this past year. This is a very new development.
I have too. It's weird.
Yeah, I used to be like very opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to use the reasoning like, well, I'm never going to learn what any of the Pokemon are called if I nickname all of them.
Right.
But then I kind of was thinking about it, and like, in addition to just trying to have a better memory for my playthroughs, I also was like, I'm going to learn the names no matter what. Like, I'm going to learn what they're called through other trainers or just because I like them. And I'm going to forget the names of the ones I don't care about anyway. So, like, whether I nickname them or not is not going to increase or decrease my chance of remembering things. So I just decided to nickname everything. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's better for challenges. Some of them require it. And I already have a better memory of like my all fairy run because it was one specific type and I named everything.
Nice.
So I think it's working. But yeah, I've been nicknaming everything as well. And I saw, as you've been sending me teams from various games you've been playing, your different nicknames and stuff. And it's kept me a little bit more creative and less rigid about like, well, it's got to be one word or it can't be this or whatever. Well, then, you know, like you're nicknaming it. Just be fun. So.
Yeah.
I've tried to keep that mentality as well. So you started with Turtwig.
Yep.
And I know you kept me in the loop on the tumultuous acquisition that was getting your games finally to your home to start playing them. So I know this question is probably not going to be answered the way you want it to, but how far along are you in the games?
let's see. I beat the second gym.
Great.
Yeah. But I've watched so many playthroughs of this game.
Yeah.
Plus, like, I also played Platinum, like, earlier this year. So, all Sinnoh is, like, still fresh in my head right now.
Yeah, totally. Well, and, like, if ever there were a set of games that you could do that with, like, there's no risk involved in this one, right? They basically said, like, not only is it a remake, but we're being pretty faithful about it. So, like,
yeah,
you know, they said very faithful, or they said, like, exactly. It's definitely not exactly.
No.
They definitely made tweaks, I think, largely for the better. And then there's some weird stuff that they've tweaked, or stuff that has incidentally been tweaked via glitch. but, you know, they're building a game from the ground up, so.
Yeah. Have you seen how many glitches are in this game?
There are so many.
Yeah.
And part of me feels bad because I know, and it's not secret, it's not, you know, it's common knowledge that this is the first core series game developed primarily by another studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that studio has primarily developed a game before. They've worked on other games.
Mm-hmm.
They developed Pokemon Home.
Mm-hmm.
They've certainly provided development for large scale games, but I think this might be their first, like, from beginning to end, primary developed game. So I feel bad picking on it too much, but at the same time, like, if you're going to step into the arena of developing, you know, one of the most popular game series in all of history, like, yeah, people are going to be paying attention. There's a lot of glitches.
Yeah, and I've seen, like, apparently there's one glitch where you can basically skip everything.
I just saw the one today that lets you skip Cynthia, and I was like, excuse me?
Yeah, apparently now people are going to be exploiting that to do speed runs. Apparently, right now the record for completing Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl is like 50 minutes.
Which is so wild to me. So I listened to, maybe a couple months ago, I listened to a podcast that was all about speed runs.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really realize this clarifies so much for me because I don't know anything about speedruns, or I didn't before.
Mm-hmm.
I still barely do. I didn't realize that so many speedruns are reliant on taking advantage of glitches and taking advantage of broken aspects of games. And, you know, even saying it that way is probably contentious because I'm supposed to call them speedrun strats, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they are. They're glitches. It's your, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there was one time where you sent me something where it was like, oh, I just saw that the record for whatever, like Pokemon Blue was beaten or something.
Yep.
And the time you sent me, I was like, that's got to be impossible. It's got to be impossible to even navigate. Like, because I was playing Pokemon Blue when you sent me that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this game is so slow. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
But now I kind of have a better idea of how that works. So 15 yeah. minutes makes sense, given how many things I've seen people bypass in this game.
Yeah. But now there's that. There's like another one I think is like maybe like without really cheating per se. Like, obviously, like, you can take advantage of a few exploits. Like, apparently if you give, like, a Pokemon X accuracy in red and blue, it's 100% accurate. It doesn't, like, increase it by just, like, 20% or something. It's automatic. So if you give a Pokemon, like, Fissure or Horndrill, which are one-hit KOs, which usually have very low accuracy, are now 100% accurate every battle.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
Now, stuff like that, like, if you go into, like, the Elite Four with a Nidoking with Horndrill, you can knock out the Elite Four instantly.
Wish I knew that when I was like 10 years old.
Right? I didn't even know.
I never bought those items when I was a kid. Yeah. I still don't buy those items.
Yeah. There was one thing. Apparently, if you talk to like the bike shop owner or something like that, it causes something in your game where instead of like loading, when it loads up the text for like talking to someone, it instead of like just scrolling by, it's instant. It just pops up.
Ooh.
So
I wish that could just be a setting.
Exactly. So that saves you like a few seconds right there each time.
That's wild. I'll have to watch I guess if the record for red and blue at this point is like sub 2 hours, I think is what you told me.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Maybe I'll watch one someday. That's about the length of a movie.
Yeah, and like I think they skipped I want to say like either Silphco or Rocket Tower or one of them, they just completely skipped. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize we could do that. Okay.
Again, wish I knew that when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one. I'm assuming it was Silphco. I'm pretty sure at one point I got so frustrated as a kid, I had to go to my older brother and be like, can you please help me? Like, I don't understand what I'm doing. I'm too stupid. I remember
now.
Now it's like you see the map and it's like so obvious.
I remember now. He skipped the Rocket Hideout, went straight to Lavender Tower, then one got faced with the Cubone's mother, the Marowak.
Yeah.
Usually, normally, you can't do anything because you don't have the Silph Scope. Well, when you go into the battle, if you use a Poke Doll, it automatically runs from it and the spirit is calmed away and you can keep going. Completely bypassing that.
That's right.
And then once you get through that, then the Silph company opens up in Saffron and you can keep moving on. So that saves you so much time right there.
Oh, yeah, yay. Oh, yeah, yay.
It's insane.
Remember when we couldn't just like look up and watch how somebody was doing that so that we could replicate it? You had to like learn from somebody who heard from somebody who like read it in a magazine because somebody like watched somebody do it.
Oh yeah, I remember.
That's what I remember.
Yeah, my cousin.
Back in our day.
Yeah, my cousin was the one who told me about the Masingo glitch.
Mm-hmm. I had to have learned about it from somebody at school. Like there's no other way I would have known that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I mean, this game is super glitchy. I haven't run into anything that has been a problem though. I don't know. Nothing has, and granted, I haven't looked for any of it. I haven't seen what's gone wrong and like exploited any of it on purpose, obviously.
Right.
But that's been the extent of my personal problems with the game. Other than that, it's been pretty smooth for me. Oh, you know what? I did bring this up on last episode, so listeners will have heard me talk about this, but I would love to know if you've been running into this as well. The movement has been a pain in the butt for me a little bit.
Yes.
Because it is a faithful remake, the grid system is still the same, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is built on a grid. They didn't redesign the maps or the towns or anything, but they also give you free movement. So I keep getting stuck on things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're running into the same problem.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
That's my biggest complaint, but other than that, it feels pretty smooth.
I saw this huge glitch that someone was playing Shining Pearl, and they got to the legendary battle, and it was a Dialga.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
That doesn't even feel like it should be possible. Well, I mean, I guess, I don't know how games are made. Maybe it's all just like, I don't know. I don't know anything, but that's wild. That seems like it shouldn't even be possible.
Yeah.
But so many things shouldn't be possible.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But here
we are.
So
I guess, like, if we're, I am so curious. You and I haven't really talked that much about these games, because I think we knew we were going to be talking about it on here. So I'm so curious to get just your impression dump in general. Like, where do you want to go and where do you want to start with your impressions of these games?
I'll admit, the graphics are amazing.
I like them more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. They're really
nice. It looks great on handheld.
Yes. I feel like the graphics are better than what the trailer showed us. I feel like everything's a little bit more bright and vibrant than what they were.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in, like, Fall Aroma Town with, like, all the flowers. Everything looks a lot more crisper and brighter and just more flowery, if you will.
Yeah.
So.
Do you think, not to ask you a question that immediately derail you, do you think that there will be a version of, not necessarily Floroma Town, but that area of the map in Legends Arceus? Because that is the area, I think, of the Sinnoh region I would love to see upscaled the most, because of all those flowers.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see that. Yeah.
I haven't looked closely at that Hisui map, but I hope there is one.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, all these positive things, but it's...
I know you worried me when we were chatting.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, I love the Grand Underground. I'll give you that. I think it's really fun.
Yeah. Have you fiddled around with it much?
I've explored every question mark I can so far.
Yeah. I think it's a massive improvement over the original.
Oh, yeah. I love that they're actually giving us a little bit more access to fire types early on.
Mm-hmm.
They're also, basically, this is also another way for us to get some of the Platinum Pokemon that were available in Platinum, but they weren't available in Diamond and Pearl, so they changed up here. So, like, and I had mentioned this to you over text, but I'll say on here, Gligar, you're now able to get early on, which is great, but they kind of forgot to put Gligar's held item to evolve early on too. So now,
which one does he need?
He needs is it the Razor Fang?
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So he needs that item, but it's not available until after the Elite Four. It's a little bit of a downer. So, like, if you're a big Gligar / Gliscor fan, I can understand why you'd be really upset, because I watched a playthrough online, and the guy was, like, all excited because he wanted to use a Gliscor, and then he came to realize he couldn't, so he had to have a friend to trade him the item, which works, but...
Totally.
You know, it just still sucks that you have to go through, like, that one extra step to do that.
It's like a half measure, right? It's like they added a bunch of stuff to the Grand Underground so you wouldn't have to wait for certain things, but they didn't go 100% in on fixing the idea of waiting.
Exactly.
Right? It's like... they still have that element. There's still a bunch of... because there are other items, too, I think, that you can't get until after the Elite Four. And there are certain ones that are certainly harder to get before. So I wish I had been more of, like, a philosophy change in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I like that the bases, the secret bases, actually matter. Or, like, not matter, but, like, you can actually do something with them.
I like the old secret bases, because I always liked, you know, basically building, like, a secret house, almost, if you will. Because, like, I remember, like, you could build, like, a kitchen, almost, and, like, you put a bed down and stuff. But here it's only just statues, which is still kind of cool. I haven't done that.
They could have combined the two.
I don't think
they needed to, like, get rid of the old one.
Yeah, they could have combined the two. Right now I'm hunting for a Magnezone statue. I don't know if there is one, but I'm going to keep hunting for it until I find it. Or until I get so fed up with it, I look up online and Sarah B tells me that it doesn't exist, and then I cry. So
keep hope alive.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't even know how that all works. Like, I don't know. I was wondering the other day and then didn't even look it up. I was like, I wonder if every Pokemon has a statue. And then I was like, certainly that can't be possible. But I didn't look it up because I also wanted to keep hope alive.
Yeah. I like how we get Manaphy, Mew, and Jirachi super early.
Yes, and I like that this was a big revelation for the both of us that you figured out and I just benefited from. But the fact that they're distributed through eggs is such a massive
Manaphy
improvement, because you can... Well, Manaphy is an egg. The other two...
you get at level
one.
Aren't
the other two eggs too?
No, Mew you get at level one, and Jirachi you get at level five.
Oh, that's probably why I thought they were eggs. Because you ultimately, the point is, you get them at such a low level, which is great.
And early on in the game that you can actually use them in a playthrough if you wanted to, which I'm doing with Manaphy. So, and just say, Manaphy, is kicking some butt right now.
Oh, good. That's good to hear. Because, like, I am not rolling with any of the three of them necessarily. Because I have this, the past few games I've played, especially where I don't have like a theme or a challenge, I'm finding that a team of six is actually like very roomy. It used to be that I wished that I could carry more, and now I struggle to figure out like, what do I do with my sixth spot or whatever. And I'm sure part of that is just like, it's like a residual like must have spot for HMs, and now you don't have that.
Exactly.
So now I've been rolling typically with like a core team of four or five, and I don't know what to do with the last spot. So I could roll with one of them. Anyway, all that to say, I started, you know, just switch training or like XP share training my Jirachi and Mew, thinking maybe I would work with Jirachi because I don't have a psychic or a steel type really. But I don't know if either one of them would kick butt the way that it sounds like Manaphy is. So
Mew,
maybe Manaphy was the way to go.
Mew is great because he can learn pretty much every TM.
Totally.
So that's a plus right there.
So, okay, so you've got Turtwig and Manaphy. What's the rest of your team?
I got Mothim.
I love that you chose that because I forgot that Pokemon existed.
I do too. And I was like, you know what? I've never used you. So I named it Mothra.
Nice. Love it.
let's see. I got a Magnemite.
I named my Magnemite Kyle's buddy.
I love it. And then, what else was... I also caught a Skorupi, which I nicknamed Deathstab.
Beautiful.
And that's my team right now. I am waiting for my final Pokemon, which will be a Frostlass.
Awesome.
So I just gotta wait until I can get Snorunt, and then I'll finally have my team.
Nice. I don't know what to do with my last two spots. Maybe you have some ideas. I have...
Spiritomb.
Yeah, I mean, why not? You know?
I mean, you just gotta talk
to... I certainly have never used it.
All you gotta do is talk to 31 NPCs in the Grand Underground, and you're good to go.
Yeah, no big deal, right?
Yeah. That is actually one thing. Like, I love that we're able to do that. I love that we still don't have to use HMs. That was a huge plus.
But also, I like that you can teach the HM moves to your Pokemon if you want to.
Yeah.
I still like that idea.
Yeah. I wish that TMs weren't breakable.
I wish that those TMs weren't breakable.
Yeah.
The other ones I don't mind as much because I don't use them that much.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a weird reversion, right? To like have them that don't break and then go back to them breaking.
Mm-hmm. It is very weird. Let's see, what else have I learned? Okay, so this is a little bit more on my side of things. You know, I love to collect ribbons.
Mm-hmm.
So when you defeat the Elite Four, you always get a ribbon. When they recreated Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, they gave you a whole new ribbon for defeating the Elite Four. It wasn't the same one as Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald. But for this one, it's the same one that you get for defeating Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum.
So, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, so I was a little bummed about that. And then the contest ribbons are the same as the Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire ribbons.
That's really weird.
Exactly. So there's that. There's only one new ribbon in the entire game, and it involves the contest. I still got to do some research onto it, but yeah, I was a little bummed about that. I was all excited to get like a new champion ribbon for my team.
Yeah.
Nothing. I was like, damn.
The ribbons all have flavor text, though, right? So it'll, at the very least, the flavor text will clarify, hopefully. I'm not very familiar with ribbons. This is, like, all your expertise.
I don't think it'll just say, ribbon for defeating the Elite Four in Sinnoh. That's all it'll say. Or becoming a champion in Sinnoh. That's basically
it. That's a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. I was a little upset. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
What do you think of the contest in general? Because that's a thing that they completely overhauled. Like, they did not keep very much of anything from the original on that front.
I haven't played it, and I haven't seen anyone do it yet, so I don't have much to say about it. So once I do, I'll be able to give a little more input on it, but as of right now, I got nothing.
I was kind of looking forward to it because I wanted to sort of like revisit the idea of the contests in a remade game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I haven't done much because they totally redid it. But it's mm-hmm. probably something I would like more now anyway, because it's a rhythm game and I like rhythm games.
Yeah.
But I also have not fiddled with it much, I mean, so I don't have much to say either.
There was a rhythm game in the contest in Diamond Pearl Platinum, but it was a lot harder on the DS, so I'm hoping it's a little bit easier on the Switch. Speaking of contests and whatnot, Ball Capsules. Yeah. So glad we got them even earlier.
Yes.
I love Ball Capsules.
Yes. Yes. And now, just let us change the exterior. That's my next That's my next thing. They're never going to do it, but that's what I want most.
I want Ball Capsules to be a thing in every game.
Yes. I agree. I think it's so fun.
Yeah. Let us change the animation of when the Pokemon comes out. It's so cool.
Yeah. And it's cool to see other trainers do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any... I think it might just be gym leaders that do it and maybe like rival type characters and stuff. But like, it's cool to see other trainers do it too.
Mm-hmm. Another complaint I have. Rotom. You can't get it until after the league.
Is that different from before? Or is that just a thing you were hoping they would change?
In Diamond and Pearl, you couldn't get it until after the league. But in Platinum, they changed it so that once you got cut, you could get Rotom. So after the second gym, you could have a level 20 Rotom on your team. Yeah. But they did at least add something from Platinum, which is the secret room where you can get all the Rotom forms.
Okay.
So that's at least something that they added from Platinum. Platinum, though, you had to have, like, it was a special event item that you had to get, like, a key to get from, like, a online distributor, which kind of sucks, but it is what it is from back then. Thankfully, this one here is just like, oh, hey, it's already available. Cool, thanks.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall for the conversations where they decided what stayed and what wouldn't. What would be exactly the same and what they would take from Platinum, because it's not a ton of stuff from Platinum. It's like little things here and there. And I have to imagine that was those decisions probably weren't made by ILCA or ILCA. I don't know how you say it, but I'm assuming those were all Pokemon company decisions, but I don't know.
Part of me thinks if it was ILCA, this was just their way of just copying and pasting and just taking the easy way out, almost, if you will. Like, they're just trying to, in a rush, and so they just kept everything without changing.
But I wonder
if it was
ILCA, then if I'm being optimistic, which, you know, isn't usually my MO here, I'm usually like, let's expect the least and be surprised by what we get. Or maybe that is optimism. I don't know. Whatever. But if I'm being optimistic about it, it could be that some of those things were ILCA's way of incorporating Platinum stuff in when Pokemon Company told them they were to make a faithful remake. And if that's the case, then, like, good on ILCA. Because if ILCA was able to make all the decisions, you would think they would just make a remake of Platinum. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess you wouldn't theoretically get two versions out of it, but it's not hard to imagine how you would.
Honestly, at the end of the day, I only blame one group, and I blame the fans.
Oh? Get spicy.
Here's what I think. Ever since Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire came out, we have been begging for Diamond and Pearl remakes. I feel like they already have plans for this whole Legends Arceus thing for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, this is going to be our new Diamond and Pearl remake, if you will. This is going to be the new direction we're going to go for whatever. But then we kept begging and begging. And so then Pokemon Company's like, fine, if it will shut them up, we'll have someone else do it because we don't have the time because we're still working on this.
Right.
So the guys we had to do Pokemon Home, let's have them do it. Give them the bare minimum amount of money to do it, and there you go. I'm probably wrong. I know I probably am, but
any of us speculating are. None of us know. They don't really speak to it that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And they never talk about how much it costs to make their games. That's not a very Nintendo or Nintendo affiliate thing to do.
Yeah. Well, you know. Because you know they're going to make their money back like 10 times. So.
Yeah. No matter how much they spend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's possible. I mean, I do think that whether it was motivated by demand or just something that they knew they wanted to do internally or not. I mean, it does seem pretty clear that the reason they contracted Ilka to do it was because they were focusing their team on Arceus. But, like, it also, at the same time, makes sense that they would release these two games in the same window of time, right? Because it's so weird that we would be getting two Core Series games months apart. Not a year apart. Months. Like,
months.
3 months apart.
Not,
it's, it's unbelievable. Like,
yeah. Yeah, so I am really hoping that there's going to be, like, a connection between the two. Like, once, at a little short time after Legends Arceus comes out, there's going to be, like, a little update where in Legends Arceus, at the end, you can go and, like, I think I told you this, like, you can take, like, the Azur flute and you hide it somewhere, and then you go and get it in Diamond and, or in the Diamond and Pearl remakes, and that's where you go get it, and then you can bring, and you can summon out Arceus. I think that would be awesome.
That would be super cool. I would love to see them do something like that. Here's where I do my regular thing and have the lowest expectations possible. I don't know if we're going to see much post-release long-term replay value type updates for Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl at all. And I don't know enough about Arceus to say whether we're going to get that for that game. I think it might be a little easier, or maybe not easier, but more conventionally built for that, because it's happening in a post Sword and Shield world as opposed to the remakes, which are not. The only thing I could really see them fiddling with after the fact with Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl is the Grand Underground. But even then, that's not built quite the same way as the Wild Area.
Yeah.
To, like, do events. I mean, I guess you could tweak spawn rates and do event weekends and stuff like that, but I don't know if there's much benefit to it in the way that they do Wild Area events.
The other thing I want to know is, are we going to get Generations 5 and up in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl? Because as far as I can tell, only Generations 4 through 1 through 4 are in the game. You can't even get Sylveon.
For Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl?
Yeah,
yeah. I would bet actual money that it's going to stay that way. I can't imagine they're going to let us add anything after 4 to these games. Because they really do feel like remakes of Diamond and Pearl.
Which is unfortunate, but again, I understand. I just don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, that I think is sort of why I was disappointed and was surprised that so many people were excited when they did announce that it was going to be a very faithful remake. Because to me, that just felt like limits, you know? But I think for a lot of people, it felt like, you know, much-desired nostalgia, which I get. I get nostalgic for things, too. And playing this game, I've been feeling a lot of, like, cool nostalgia for games that I initially didn't like. Remember, these were, like, my least favorite games. This was my least favorite generation for a long time, and it might still be, but not because I don't like it. Just at this point, it's just I like other ones more, and I like this one still, just not as much, you know? So it's at least made me feel positive things for a generation I didn't before. So I get it, but I'm with you. I would have liked to see some of, even Let's Go added the regional forms. You know,
I guess we'll just have to wait until Pokemon Home is compatible with the games.
Oh, I can't wait.
But that's just going to suck for, like, Pokemon that from Gen 5 and up that couldn't go into Sword and Shield also can't go into Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. Like, I'm going to feel bad for, like, whoever's got, like, one of those favorite Pokemon that just can't go into any of the Generation 8 games. That kind of sucks.
It's rough, especially for Gen 5, because Gen 5 is in such a weird spot right now, where once we make, once these games are home compatible, really everything is connected except for Gen 5, because Gens 1 and 2 are available on 3DS, right? And then there's remakes of Gen 3 that are compatible with Bank, and then Gen 4 is now going to be compatible with Home, and then 6, 7, and 8 are all compatible with either Bank or Home. So then you just have 5.
Compatible.
Oh, it is compatible with Bank? Oh, whew. I was going to say, look at me living in this world where, like, everything was horrible for some of my favorite games.
you have to use the Poke Transporter app, which is also on the 3DS. It's a two-thing. It's a two-part system. Basically, but you can only transfer one box at a time, so basically you have to put it in, use the Poke Transporter, it'll transport your first box into Pokemon Home, and then you gotta go into Pokemon Home, and then you can move your Pokemon. It's a little bit more exhausting, but it's there. It's okay. Not like you can
put it's not the cartridge as in bad as can... having to put it into another generation's game and then move it up.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's better than I thought it was. See, this is why, man, it's nice to have you here.
Actually, the only generate. Well, no, I guess, yeah, because of the downloads. But yeah, as of right now, though, Johto is the one generation we really haven't been back to in forever.
I don't remember your thoughts on this. I would actually be okay with them for only Johto. End it here. But I would be okay with a Let's Go Johto series.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Even if it was just one. Even if instead of... I mean, at this point, it would be weird if they just did one, because it's not... If they did, like, a quote, third game for Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu, and they just did, like, Let's Go Meryl or Suicune or whatever, and basically just did a crystal version of Let's Go, like, I would have been all about that. I still would be all about Let's Go Johto. But that's I think, right now, without... Or Legends. You and I have talked about Legends would be a good way to revisit Johto. If Legends becomes a series. But, yeah, you're right. It is kind of left high
let's
and dry.
Let's Go Pichu and Let's Go Togepi. It would be those two.
That'd be good. I like that. I'm into that.
Yeah, but my only question... Or, no, not question. My only demand is that if they do this, and I'm just saying this, put all Johto Pokemon in Johto. Don't give me any Kanto Pokemon in Johto until I get to Kanto. And do not make any Johto exclusive do not make any Johto Pokemon exclusive to Kanto. Because that is bull, and I hate that.
Okay, here I will agree with half of that. I don't want any Johto Pokemon to be exclusive to the Kanto side of the region, but 100 Pokemon for a whole region is pretty thin. So I would be okay with them continuing to allow the Kanto Pokemon to migrate over to the Johto side of things. Although I'm trying so hard in my gold replay to stay away from any Kanto Pokemon. I'm not even trying to catch them.
It's hard because there's so many Kanto Pokemon in Johto.
And Johto really does feel like an expansion of that Pokedex. I mean, it's my favorite generation and it is a standalone generation, but it really does feel like an expansion and a filling out of things. So it is tough. It is tough.
Yeah.
But what other stuff about Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl are we leaving out? Anything you're most excited to get to that you haven't yet?
Can't wait to get a Magnezone.
I honestly, even though I have a Luxray, I still might end up adding Magnemite to my team just because I have so much room. My core four cover a lot of ground, but it feels like a waste to not fill out my core. Plus, it's always weird when you get to the end and you have I had like a random like level 15 Sandshrew on my like blue championship team because it was a throwaway slot and I forgot to swap it out. So I just have a Sandshrew that's like a champion. So like I want to like pick who my championship team is. Maybe it'll be a Magnezone.
I can't wait to check out Ramos Park though.
Yes. I'm very curious about that.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what they did, because I know that was supposed to be the PAL park where you can transport from Generation 3 to 4. So obviously they had to change that, because if they kept that the same, I'd have so many questions.
Yep. That would be weird.
Yep. Unless, of course, they decided to go, hey, here's Generation 3 for the Switch. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I just can't wait to get there.
Yeah, it'll be fun stuff to check out. You know what I wish they beefed up? Great Marsh. Was really hoping they would have tweaked something with the Great Marsh. But you'll see, it's pretty much the same.
I know what I wish they had tweaked.
What's that?
Fantina's gym.
In what? Oh, in what way? I mean, I probably could guess, but in what way?
She's obviously the ghost gym, and...
Yes.
In Diamond and Pearl,
I did not realize. I for some reason thought she was psychic, and then was like, "Oh, whoops!"
And they're the same thing. So, to get to her, you have to answer math questions. I don't know what that has to do with ghosts. But the worst part is, she's the fifth gym leader. Why am I answering math questions to get to the fifth gym leader who has ghosts? So, but they fixed that in Platinum, where she's now the third gym leader, and you actually have to walk around in the dark and try not get hit by flashlights by other people. Like, you're basically playing light tag.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, so Platinum is such a mystery to me.
That is, didn't I get you Platinum?
You did. I made a list of everything and how I'm going to play it in order. It's coming up. It's coming up.
Okay. So Fantina's gym is a lot better in Platinum, and I wish that is, like, if they could only carry one thing over from Platinum, that is what I wish they had carried over.
Even if just the gym. Like, you don't have to rearrange anything, but just, like, her gym. Because, yeah, the math stuff is stupid. Yeah. It's so stupid.
Yeah,
Derek, I don't know if you've seen much of this, but Derek is playing a Pokemon Core Series game for the first time since the original Ruby and Sapphire. So, nice. Like, he's been playing these. And he said, like, that was so weird and so stupid. Mm-hmm. It was like, why am I doing math?
Yeah. And I know we talked a little bit about this earlier, but I'm going to say it again. Well, I haven't said this, but I'm just going to say it. Why does the electric gym leader have an Octillery?
I don't know.
Why?
It must know, like, one electric move.
Don't get me wrong. I love Octillery. Octillery is it's my favorite water Pokemon. Why is it an electric gym? Now, that being said, if I was an electric gym leader, I'd probably have an Octillery. I wouldn't use it in battle, but I'd have an Octillery because it's awesome.
Right. You know, since we've come full circle on this is probably the, you know, we'll wrap up our conversation here, but
yeah,
since we've come full circle on the gym leader thing, you know, who was a cool, unconventional gym leader was Raihan in Sword and Shield, because he did the pairs thing where one Pokemon was always sort of like in charge of the weather and it would benefit the partner Pokemon. So you kind of had to prioritize, like, what am I going to focus on here? Because you're being affected by the weather. He's boosting himself. He's nerfing you. Mm-hmm. Like, that was pretty creative.
Mm-hmm. Also, just him doing double battles in general by himself.
Yeah.
The last double battle gym leader, I think, was Liza and Tate, but they were two people. So
yeah.
It just makes more sense to have that as a double battle. But here, like, oh, hey, he's a double battle. That's awesome.
More
I
that
wish
stuff.
We got more stuff like yeah.
So, well, any final thoughts on Diamond and Pearl before I take it over to Rye?
Yeah, Black and White remakes when?
I should have known that was going to be your final thought. Well, let me ask you this then: if they do end up doing Black and White remakes, are you? Mm-hmm. Would you want it? You know, now that we've got these, would you want it to go down the faithful route again, or would you want it to, if they're not doing legend style, right? If they're doing remakes, would you want it to go more Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl or more Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire? Are you proud of how well I just said that name? Because I always fumble over it.
I would love for them to do legends for it, because Unova's got an amazing legend I would love for them to do. But obviously, I would love for them to do Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. I hope Ilka, as they're seeing all these reviews, if they're asked to do it again, they take these reviews into consideration and don't just blow them off to be like, okay, how can we do this but better and learn? Okay, people kind of like that it was a faithful remake, but let's change a few things here and there. Maybe keep the chibi art. I wish the chibi art was actually full round the same. Like, even in battle, like, just keep everything the same. It throws me off every time.
I could not disagree with you more on something. I'm so glad we get the reprieve. I'm not a fan of the chibi art. I think the overworld looks really great, but I don't like the chibi overworld models.
I'm not a, like, super big fan, but I can live with it. It's just when I go into battle and it's like, all of a sudden, hey, look, I grew 5 feet. Awesome.
I'm suddenly a proportional human being.
Exactly. I wish there was a little bit more consistency between the two.
Sure.
But, so again, I just hope, like, they take all these reviews and they do better next time.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, I have a feeling this won't be the last we see of Ilka. I can't imagine they would have invested so much in a company to develop both their storage system and a core series game and then just drop them. So I'm sure we'll see something else, whether it's a core series game or whether it's a popular spinoff. We'll see. But we'll see him again. Just like, I imagine, with Arceus coming out in just a couple of months, we'll probably hear from you again if all shakes out well. So,
Yeah, we'll see if they decide to ship it to me on time or not. So,
well, in any case, I'm glad that we were able to make this work and I could catch up with you on the podcast and get your thoughts on this. Obviously, I will talk to you very soon, but luckily listeners will probably hear from you sooner rather than later to talk about that. In the meantime, anywhere you want people to find you, or should they just leave you alone?
If you want to find me, I guess just follow me on Twitter at Deadpool_Ranger. You can tweet at me if you want. I'm probably going to ignore you because I don't care.
He doesn't care, and he's got stuff to take care of. I almost cursed.
Yeah. I'm not the face of the podcast anymore, so I don't have to give two b**ps.
Kyle doesn't have to be nice. He can get real.
Exactly.
And I have to put up with any consequences of that. All right. Well, I will talk to you later, Kyle. Thank you once again for joining me.
Bye, Luke. I almost forgot my Luke reference.
Well, like I said, I have more than one guest today. I have two guests. So I guess without further ado, I will introduce my second guest to talk about Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. She was on just a couple months ago, probably, to talk about Pokemon Master Journeys. And she is one of the co-hosts of Geek Each Week on YouTube. It is Rye. Welcome back, Rye.
Hi, it's great to be back so quickly.
Yes, I know. I know. I'm so happy to have you, too, because last time we talked, you had mentioned that this region and generation are your favorite, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I knew that I wanted to at least check in with you on how these remakes were. So I guess just right off the bat, the standard sort of questions for any game chat. How far along in the game are you? Which version are you playing? Who did you start with? All that jazz.
All right. I am playing Shining Pearl.
Nice.
Because way, way back, I initially played Diamond. So I wanted to change it up for the remakes.
Nice.
And go for the opposite one. I started with Piplup because Piplup is my like first and second favorite starter. Cause
first and second?
Yeah, Piplup and Rowlet share like a little space together.
Burbs.
Depending on the day.
Yeah.
And I am going to Mount Cornet for like the big legendary encounter.
Oh, you and I are in the exact same spot. Nice. Basically. Yeah. I know. I haven't been able to play quite as much as I have wanted to.
Yeah, me too.
Folks that started after me have now like blasted past me.
Yeah, I know. I see them on Twitter, and thankfully most of the people that like talk to regularly that are playing the game are on roughly the same pace, so I don't feel as bad. But then, like, there's other people in our friend group that are like, "Oh, I beat the game on like the fifth day." I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I know, right? I didn't do, because it was a remake and not like a whole new region or anything like that. I didn't like take any time off or anything like I did for Sword and Shield. When that game came out, I like took time off work and was like, "I'm doing nothing but this." This one, I was a little bit more reasonable about it. But we're around the same place, which is nice. I guess, like, to just dive into things. Well, actually, let's remind people a little bit, I guess. Like, you said that this is your favorite generation, your favorite region. What are some of the highlights for you? What are some of the reasons that it, like, resonates with you so much?
A lot of it... as well, for starters, I just have really fond memories of the original DS.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said on the last episode, like, I sunk a lot of hours into Diamond and I sunk a lot of hours into Platinum.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd have to check this because I don't know for sure, but I feel like the stretch of time between Gen 4 and Gen 5 was significant. And I might be wrong about that, but it feels significant, like a significant length of time to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember Like, I know that these games came out, I'm like trying to do the like location association thing. Like, I know I played these games in my like freshman college dorm. Mm-hmm. So now I'm trying to remember, like, where did I play Black and White? Like, who did I play it with? Which dorm room did I play it in? And I'm like struggling to fully place it. So I'm not 100% sure.
But like Platinum was the first time I had like a competitive team. And I say competitive really loosely. It was a bunch of Pokemon I just liked.
Sure.
They had no thematics, but they were EV trained and bred to have the moves that they needed to have. And I don't think I like bred them for IVs, because it was, like I said, it was a super casual team. But
mm-hmm.
So it was like my first jump into that. The hype leading up to Gen 4 was when I had first met like my biggest group of Pokemon friends at our first league.
Nice.
And so there was just a lot of hypes going into Gen 4, and then just the continuous like growth of the group and playing the games through that period of time. It's just, they're not the greatest Pokemon games, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the Pokemon games that end up meaning the most to me because of what was going on in my life at the time that they came out.
Yeah.
So.
No, that makes sense to me. I think that's always like an important distinction, right? To be able to say like, well, this is my favorite thing. I don't really care whether people think it's the best thing or the worst thing. Like, it's just my favorite thing versus like, this might be the objective quote best thing, but like, it just doesn't mean as much to me. Like, I think those are two very different things.
Yeah. So that's a lot of fond memories.
Yeah. So I guess, with these being like relatively faithful remakes, maybe like oversold to a degree on like the faithfulness, given some of the like major changes.
We'll talk
they
about
made.
That, I'm sure.
Yeah. How have you been enjoying Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl so far?
Yeah, not getting into the nitpicks, and we'll get there. but I've been having a blast. Like I love the region. Seeing it in this like cute chibi little style,
mm-hmm.
It's just something that's right up my alley. I love that stuff. So just like, and the presentation of the game itself is kind of one of those things where you don't really appreciate it as much until you start like being in that world, because visually you're like, oh, it's cartoony, it's chibi, it's whatever, but like the textures and the visuals and the reflections and the water.
Yeah.
Like, everything looks really good.
Yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised, even having seen, like, the later trailers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Until you're interacting with it, it doesn't necessarily hit as hard. Just, it's so weird to focus on this one thing, but just the way the water looks when you're surfing on it,
yes,
is so mm-hmm. nice. It's so nice.
It looks so really pleasant. Pretty. Like, it was one of the first things I said, too, when I booted up the games.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Lake Cutie Verity, the lake by the town.
Oh boy,
the first
I don't
lake.
Know. I can never remember which one's which.
And like, you go towards the briefcase, and you just look over at the lake,
uh-huh.
and it's just like this beautiful reflective water. I'm like, oh, the water's really pretty.
Yeah. The fact that it's reflective and translucent,
mm-hmm.
and both of those effects are like on full display, is yeah. just, it looks
and
so nice.
Also, hats off to whoever developed like the reflective floor tiling and decided to put it on everything.
Oh, yeah.
They were very proud of their work.
Yeah. No, it looks great. Yeah, they should be. It looks really, really cool. I've been a little vocal on like the chibi like overworld models, because I don't mind them, but the something about the feet being so big bothers me, and I don't know why. So I was like, there was a part of me that was like going into it sort of begrudgingly, but it all looks so nice. If they could just tweak the feet a little bit, I would be 100%. I'm like at like 95.
you're gonna make me look at their little chibi feet next time I boot up the game now.
They look like they're meant to not fall over. Like they've got like a serious weight down at the bottom there. But the even just like when you have a little cutscene with the chibi models and stuff like that, even just their simplified like facial expressions and their movements and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's actually a lot more than I expected, the way that they move and their body language. I wouldn't have expected them to get very much body language into those little tiny compact models. But an interaction with Cyrus comes to mind where I was just like, oh my gosh, they're getting a, like, he's not moving the same way that Mars did. You know what I mean? Like they are able to actually animate them in specific, unique ways. So that's really impressive.
My favorite thing is just like when you're on the overworld and like something happens, your little character just kind of does this big stretch with the arms in the air. And I'm like, oh, you're adorable.
I do like the idle animation. That is not something I was expecting. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something that I always think is so funny in any game where if you don't play long enough, they start like getting fidgety. I don't think it has, I'm assuming Sword and Shield and Sun and Moon probably had some sort of idle animation.
Probably. I don't remember them.
But I will remember this, you know, like it's really cute.
Because these are adorable. So they'll always be in my brain.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how does the game feel to you?
There's a couple things that I feel are off. Are we talking strictly control-wise or just...
I mean, we can start there. Like, okay. That control-wise is one of the things that has been giving me a little bit of a hard time. Mm-hmm. But we can kind of go wherever from there.
I'm so back and forth on the controls. Like, I mean, all the button controls are fine.
Sure.
They're fairly standard. The movement feels off to me, and it's the problem is if you use I say use the D-pad because I'm using a Split Pad Pro when I'm playing this, so I have a D-pad. The problem with using the D-pad, and I assume the buttons on a Joy-Con work the same for movement, it's you're stuck in like this up down left right sort of pattern, whereas when you use the stick you can go in like a diagonal, which is fine. But I feel like the game isn't built to go on a diagonal.
Yes. Yes.
There's so many glitches.
Yes.
Candace's gym comes to mind. I never successfully did the glitch, but I've seen several people just like zip down and diagonal up and just they're at Candace. They don't do anything else in the gym. Just because of the way that the physics are programmed and the fact that the game doesn't expect you to be able to move in a diagonal, and you can't. Like I said, I know I never pulled it off. I tried several times just to see, but I could never pull it off. They might have patched it by now. I'm not sure, but yeah, the game feels very not programmed to have you operate on a diagonal, and so while you're in an open space and you run around with it, the diagonal's in full range, it's very fluid. Like, it's not bad, but given the fact that they faithful remaked the maps so heavily, a lot of these aren't really programmed for you to move on a diagonal, and the camera also doesn't seem to want to agree with your diagonal. And I don't know if it's just a skewed point of view, maybe, because the originals were so top down and this one's more on like a Link's Awakening kind of angle. But like there'll be a area with like rocks and I'm like, well, okay, I can't get through there, but you can. It just doesn't look like you can. And so like I'll miss things or just not go to like a little area that has an item in it because I'm looking at this thinking, oh, I can't go there. But
did you play Link's Awakening?
Yes, very good game.
Was it built on this? Was it built the same way as this one, where it had the same, like it was built proportionally to the map of the original? Like this one is built to the map of the original.
Link's Awakening was built very interestingly, in the fact that they took a top down view and obviously skewed it slanted. Yeah. To get the aspect that they wanted. But the whole game is like slanted. Like they built the models in the world and then they just slanted the whole thing.
Oh, strange.
And so everything fits perfectly in that game, both visually and in terms of like controlling and playing, because it was built with a top-down perspective and then tilted to modify for the like the perspective, and that everything just works.
Yeah, that makes sense. But... and now that I think about it, in those old Game Boy Zelda games and the NES and Super NES ones, you could move free. You had free motion anyway, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I don't know if that makes much of a difference. But what you're saying about how the new Link's Awakening was built makes a lot of sense. This one feels like the free movement could have been either a later thought or something that they felt like they had to do,
mm-hmm.
Just because it's a modern game. But it's really causing me problems. It was causing me problems early on because I mentioned this in our previous episode where we did some first impressions. I keep getting like stuck on corners and stuff.
Yeah, yep.
And then in the later game, especially like on Mount Coronet now, there's so many spots where it's just a single grid pieces width between things. And I just end up using the D-pad, which on the Joy-Cons are four separate buttons.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's not as smooth as if you were using like a DS or a DS Lite.
Yeah.
Or even a DSi, I think, had the D-pad as well.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm using the Split Pad Pro. So
yeah.
Having the D-pad is really nice for those situations. I honestly also find myself using the D-pad a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is probably nostalgia, and the other part is just is it just runs better.
Yeah.
I think I'm not in a hurry, so like I'm fine just holding down the B button and running around. Like I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten to a point where I don't have to think about it as much. There's less distance between me like seeing something on the map and deciding which control system to use. Now I just kind of like see like, oh, this is gonna be tight, and I just sort of default to the D-pad, so it's not the worst thing in the world, but it was the thing that jumped out at me.
Mm-hmm.
What other, I guess, beyond controls, like, how does it feel as far as being a remake to a game that you're already so familiar with?
It's taking a lot of certain elements from Platinum in terms, I guess it's not really elements from Platinum, but, like, DP's biggest problem is the fact that they're just very slow games.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, with these being modern remakes, like the HP bars move at a very reasonable pace. everything works as it should.
Yeah.
In that regard, so it does very much feel like I'm playing Diamond and Pearl, but I'm playing it in a very upgraded sort of way. Like having these, I don't particularly, other than playing Platinum, since Platinum is a little bit of a departure from this. Mm-hmm. Other than playing Platinum, I don't see a reason I would ever go back and play Diamond or Pearl specifically now that these exist. The quality of life improvements are just nice.
Yes, and I told you, we were chatting before the games even dropped, and I said I was going to try to blast through Pearl
mm-hmm.
before these dropped. I did not succeed, and going back is going to be rough.
Yeah.
So I might pick up Gold first so that Pearl still feels like an improvement.
good call.
Just kind of like, you know, shift the expectations around.
Yeah.
Keep things all relatively improving along the way. But yeah, somebody asked me and I said it's proving to be a very nostalgic experience, but it feels like if that thing you were nostalgic for was actually as good as your feelings for it mm-hmm. were. You know,
that's
like, you and I are both Power
sentence,
Rangers
yeah.
fans. People remember MMPR much better than it actually is.
Uh-huh.
It would be like if they remade that, but smoothed everything out and tweaked things and made it and improved it, you know, so it felt the way you remember it feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. It's like the people that read the comics for Mighty Morphin.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the way that you react to and
example.
Read the comics is like how you're interpreting Mighty Morphin was in the past.
Yes,
like they're very different beasts, but you think they're the same.
that is the perfect example. Yeah, you get the same feeling from the comics now as an adult as you did as a kid, but they're nowhere near the same thing.
Right,
just appealing to you in the right way at the right time. What about some of the stuff that they did tweak and change, or in some cases completely overhaul, like the Grand Underground or the contests or certain things like that. How do you feel about the stuff that they did pretty explicitly change?
Obviously the quality of life improvements are very much appreciated. Being able to go into your box whenever you want.
Oh, thank God.
is something that I'd never want to see changed. On the flip side, making TMs breakable again, I don't know why. Like, I understand they're giving you multiples in most instances, so it's like, they don't technically break because you have multiple of them. Yeah, but if I want to give, like, the same move to six of my Pokemon because I'm bad at the game, let me do that.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I feel like they did it to be faithful to the originals, but they didn't need to, considering how many other things they changed.
But right, that one baffles me because to me it's just confusing. Like, it's not causing me problems necessarily, but I just don't understand why they did it.
Yeah, no, like, I just don't understand.
I would love to know the rationale. It's kind of like the XP share not being able to be turned off. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need it to be turned off, but I don't understand why they wouldn't let you do it.
Yeah, like
I don't use a lot of TMs, but I don't understand why they're all breakable, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that completely regarding the experience share. Like, I don't ever want to turn it off because for once in my life playing Pokemon, now that they've integrated that, my teams are actually balanced.
And let me tell you, the grinding that I was doing in Pearl was getting tiresome.
And it's extra tiresome in OG Diamond and Pearl because of how slow the games move. But yeah, so like that I think is probably the biggest question mark I have is the breaking of the TMs. Bless whoever stuck with HMs not being a thing.
Oh yeah.
I love the fact that every single one uses Beedoo for Beeburl except for Fly. You stuck to the meme and I'm thankful for that.
Yes, give those two the respect they deserve after so many years of abuse, you know. I now name all of my Bidoofs and Beeburel something like very respectful. I'm like, I will worship at your altar. You've taken too much crap for too long.
Just nickname it My Precious.
Exactly.
The contests, I only did one contest when I felt like they forced you.
Yeah.
But they changed it to like some rhythm game, which like I'm perfectly fine with. Rhythm games are the bomb.
Yeah, I feel the same.
And because I noticed that they removed like the tough, cute, cool, etc. aspects of moves because like that part isn't implemented anymore, I suppose. So yeah, I'll have to dive back into contests when I beat the game and have nothing else to do until Legends Arceus comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fine with those changes. I never really did contests a whole lot to begin with, but if you're going to make it a rhythm game, sure, I might give it a shot.
Yeah.
The Grand Underground, though, superb.
I fully support everything they did to change it.
the bases getting changed to just, like, here's your hole with statues in it is a little disappointing.
Kyle felt the same way, and I definitely... It's not something I had thought about, but when he was talking about it, I could kind of see where he was coming from, and I'm guessing you're coming from a similar place.
Mm-hmm. Like, way back, it was always a fun thing to, like, build your base, and, like, oh, you can set up a computer, and you got a bed and some plushies, and it's like, oh, it's my room, and under the ground for some weird reason. And then you'd link up with your friends, and you could go visit everyone's bases, and there was a capture the flag game or something in there too. Which was like great and fun and stuff, but so it's disappointing that was removed. I don't feel it necessarily had to, but what we got in return, with like the digging aspect being nearly 1-to-1, that barely changed at all. And then having these little pockets of Pokemon that very much expanded the roster of this game for the better.
Yeah.
Is great. So like I'll gladly take away the bases for having these like catchable Pokemon down here so easily. Like I get to use a Munchlax on my team because of how easy it is to get one now.
Mm-hmm. I forgot that that was something that they had pulled so many Pokemon from the late game into the earlier game. Mm-hmm. And somebody was asking me about evolving their Munchlax, and I was like, how far are you? And then realized, like, oh, shoot, they caught it in the underground.
Yeah. He pops up as soon as you get Defog, so...
Mm-hmm.
I got Defog, then made my way underground and eventually found one that wasn't terrible. And I'm like, you're my friend now. I had to go through like four because every time I caught one, it had a hindering nature. And I'm like, I don't care a whole lot about natures, but I don't want you to like be horrible because of it. So so I finally found one that buffed defense in exchange for... like special attack or something. I'm like, this is fine.
Yeah. I really should pay more attention to that stuff. I definitely don't. And it's going to bite me. And it kind of has already. Cause I think, whatever my Shinx's ability was, I should have paid attention to it.
It wasn't intimidate.
It was whatever the other thing was, which I think turned out to be like totally ineffectual, or I don't know. Somebody will correct me, but I just was like, why isn't it? Oh, no, I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, that's how I found my shiny Bidoof.
Oh, by searching for natures?
I was looking for a Shinx with Intimidate.
Oh.
I had caught one, and it did not have Intimidate. I'm like, oh, I should probably get one with Intimidate. So I was looking for a second Shinx, and then I found the shiny Bidoof, and I'm like, well, this
Wait,
is...
in this game?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
It was, he unfortunately is like sitting in the box right now. He was traveling with me for a very long time, but, it got to the point where like, I know I'm going to need a team's worth of Pokemon to fight the Elite Four. So unfortunately, as much as Munchlax is probably going to stay on the team because he's bulky, I don't think there's room for the little Bidoof. So he's just kind of like the team mascot in the box right now, unfortunately, but no. No, he hung around for a while. But yeah, I'm just sitting here on launch day playing the game, and we're in the middle of Geek Each Week at the time.
That's incredible.
And this little shiny Bidoof just appears. I'm like, the universe is strange.
It really is. I encountered the Pokerus like on day two.
Nice.
and I've spent so much time just trying to make sure everything catches it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my goal is for everything to have caught it at some point, and then I immediately put it back in the box.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't forget, because I got to keep this thing going as long as possible. But that was so weird. I couldn't believe that either. So, hopefully that doesn't mean you and I have both, cashed in all of our luck for these games.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Like, I wasted my shot on a shiny Bidoof, who I love very much.
Yeah, there's something beautiful about that.
He's a good golden boy.
Yeah.
I unfortunately just could not use it on my team throughout the whole run. Especially because I didn't want to evolve him because Bibarel looks weird in this game to me.
It does. It's because it's a 3D model and its sprite is always it like sitting on its butt, I think.
Yeah, and it's
And
cute.
In this game, it can't just sit on its butt all the time. Although I don't know why it couldn't. I don't know why they couldn't just
they made
have
him,
that
like,
be its
standing
default stance.
Standing on all fours, like at attention. I'm like, what did they do to you, buddy?
I know. It looks so strange that way.
I hate it.
I don't like it. There are some models, and I'm assuming it's because it's the first time they've been upscaled because not everything made its way into Sword and Shield, famously or infamously. And so some of them that I think are new to this game have been a little bit weird. Most of them look great, but one that stands out to me, Pachirisu, something about it looks like it wasn't upscaled to the same degree as everything else. And I don't know
what
I don't know what
it is specifically. I have a Pachi on my team, and I can agree with that.
Okay, so it's not just me. I'm not just like making this up.
Pachi just seems very blocky, I think.
Yeah.
Because like its tail doesn't really move independently. So it's just like, it looks like a plush toy.
Yeah. Yes.
So you have the Pachirisu and he's just sitting there with his arms and his tail's curled up like a squirrel tail. And then nothing else actually moves independently really. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of there still like a garden gnome. And it's kind of terrifying.
It has sort of stilted movements. It's not very smooth.
Yeah. Oddly strong, and I love it, but yeah, he just looks weird.
I still haven't, I don't know why, I still haven't caught one, and I need to because, well, I guess I don't anymore, but I should have earlier on because I had committed to wanting a Honchkrow on my team. Mm-hmm. I wanted to at least have one Pokemon that was one of the, like, quote, newly evolved, I don't know why I put that in quotes, but the newly evolved for Generation 4 Pokemon.
Two of my team right now.
Yeah, I was so hard on them when the game came out. I have spoken on this podcast so many times about my cruddy mood about Gen 4 when it first dropped. So I was trying to embrace everything that was special about it this time around, and Honchkrow was the one that I was gonna you know, roll with. And then found out, like, the Duskstone wasn't going to be available to me for a while, but I could have, you know, just packed a team with some pickup or whatever Pokemon, and just never did it. So I don't know what I was thinking, but
I needed a okay. So just, I mean, this is, I don't even remember what our topic was, to be honest.
We're just talking about the game at this point.
But my team is Empoleon, Munchlax, Pachirisu, Roserade, Miss Magius, and Houndoom.
Ooh, nice.
Very pleased about Houndoom because Houndoom is one of my favorite Pokemon that I've actually never used in a playthrough.
Ooh, I don't know if I have either, to be honest. Because wasn't it a late game acquisition in Gen 2 as well?
Yeah, because Houndour wasn't catchable until Kanto.
Yeah.
For,
I don't know why they did
some
that.
Stupid
so
reason.
Weird.
And I never used it in Gen 3. It wasn't in the original Gen 4 decks until maybe post-game. I don't even know if it was there. And I never used it in Gen 5, obviously, because we didn't have old Pokemon until Black 2, White 2. And honestly, like, since Gen 5, I've always played playthroughs strictly with new Pokemon.
Yeah.
For the region, so I just never used a Houndoom.
Yeah, makes sense.
And so I'm like, I found one in the underground, and I'm like, cool, you're on my team now. I never even had a Houndour.
I haven't seen a Houndour. I've only seen Houndoom.
I caught it as the Houndoom, and I'm like, cool, you're on my team now.
That feels very old school. Yeah. It feels like very red and blue.
It does. So I needed the Shiny Stone for Roselia, and I needed the Dust Stone for Mischievous. And I'm like, okay, I have a Pachi. It's got pickup. I might hit it lucky. I notice that Pachi has a stone. I'm like, oh, did I do it? It was the Dawn Stone. I'm like, oh, no.
The one rare stone I wasn't looking for.
Like, the one that I didn't need. But there's a shiny stone in Iron Island. So I got that. And then as soon as I got to Galactic HQ, there was the Dust Stone. So I ran with a Roselia and a Mischievous for a while, but they were good. Roselia has Giga Drain. It just never dies. It's wonderful.
I think I'm going to add that to my team. I always struggle filling out my fifth and sixth spot. I don't know why. I'm just bad at it, I guess. So I always have like a core four or core five. And so I have an open spot, and I think it's going to be a Roselia. I was trying really hard to use Pokemon I haven't used before outside of my starter.
Yeah.
That's another reason I wanted to use Honchkrow, is because I definitely used a Staraptor before. But I think I'm just going to have to roll with Roselia. I don't know what other grass Pokemon that I would really want to roll with would be. And I have a suspicion, you would know, I don't remember, but I have a suspicion based on how the late gyms are that I will not be able to roll up with just some ground Pokemon to Volkner.
Correct.
Because there are so many ways to twist that to blow up in my face, kind of like the ice gym that was pretty much a water gym.
Yeah.
So I need something, and I think it's going to have to be grass.
Yeah. Gen 4, specifically Diamond and Pearl, they fixed a lot of problems with Platinum. And that's actually another nitpick I have, is that they were so faithful to Diamond and Pearl that all of the good things that Platinum did to make like this generation as like as good as it is to me, like they just took everything away. They're like, okay, we're not doing Distortion World, we're not doing Giratina. It'll be in the game, but you won't be how you want it. And
what's weird to me is like I could understand cutting some of that stuff, but it's like little things that I'm surprised. Like Kyle was telling me about Fantina's gym.
Oh my god,
is totally different in Platinum, and yes. It sounds cool.
It's
as
amazing.
Heck.
And Fantina's the third gym.
Yeah,
in Platinum.
Which I didn't know.
it's great. Like, I was playing these games, and granted, anytime I've played Gen 4 after my initial was Platinum, which I think was honestly only one time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a ROM, but you know, I didn't want to touch my Platinum game. So like my memory of original DP is kind of foggy compared to Platinum.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I'm playing these games, and I'm like, I don't remember this being such a slog between Gym 2 and Gym 3. And then I thought about it, I'm like, oh, that's because there was no slog between Gym 2 and Gym 3, because it happened immediately when you got to Hearthrum City.
They just let you go in there.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. Why? And then you go back there for... She's Gym 5, right?
I think so, yeah.
And it's just math. I'm like, this is stupid.
I hated it. Especially because I know this isn't going to be everybody. And as a kid, I wouldn't have done this necessarily. But I think when these games came out, I would have, because I was in college. Like, I just went and battled everybody anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, I want that experience. I don't care about your math problems.
So you don't get any of the experience for that gym unless you purposely do the math problems wrong. And like, it's just so ugly and barren and there's no decoration. Yeah. I'm like, I hate this place.
This is a big statement because there's so many gyms, and this is like recency bias, but it's got to be one of my least favorite gyms.
Oh, I 100%. I was 100%. So surprised. There's nothing there.
And I had no memory of it.
Empty rooms with math problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Ew. Fantina, do better.
Yeah.
Well, I guess she did.
She did. It's just we're not going to acknowledge it, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah. So like that was weird, and like, Volkner has like a significantly better team. I think some of the other gym leaders have better teams. Gen 4 put a fire guy in the Elite Four with two fire Pokemon in the decks.
So weird.
Basically not using Platinum's like team loadout, and I don't want to say dex roster because they fix a lot of the dex roster with the underground editions.
Mm-hmm.
But just not pulling from the Platinum team's just baffling. So you have really weird things happening, and I'm like, these were easily fixable, but because you were like, it's a faithful remake to Diamond and Pearl, I'm like, HeartGold and SoulSilver weren't faithful remakes to Gold and Silver. Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire weren't
right.
Faithful remakes to Ruby and Sapphire. I'm like, you can do a quote remake, and exactly, it's a remake, and still do like new interesting things with it, but Ilka was just like, yep, we're just going to take Diamond and Pearl, and we're going to make it HD, and we're going to add a couple things from the newer games because nobody wants to do the old stuff no more. And here you go. Side note,
mm-hmm.
The character customization being so limited is saddening.
That's a thing with... I know that they've made great strides in the past couple generations, but great strides for Pokemon still is like... kind of archaic in the character customization, front. I appreciate some of the things they've done. Like one thing that I hadn't even necessarily noticed, but was pointed out to me was that they don't ask like any questions about gender. They just give you the whole spectrum of people, and you just choose your people.
It's like, which person are you?
Right. Which person are you? But then they still gender everything anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's very bizarre. They have a lot of catching up to do. I was hoping that, you know, with each game that came out, they would push it a little bit further. This one does not do that.
Yeah. It's like, it's like you pick how you look. You can't change how you look.
Right.
It takes you a long time to get to Veilstone City.
Uh-huh.
And then you get a shop that has like 7 outfits, and there you go.
And most of them aren't that good.
And most of them are bad.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, I'm wearing the Pikachu hoodie because it was cute. I liked the hairstyle that went with the cyber outfit, but it wasn't my thing, and it made me look like Kamen Rider Fives, and it was weird. But yeah, and like I'm just like, why can't you change like your hair, your eye color? Like that's a very staple thing nowadays. I'm like, wow, this is strange. And
it's so... it somehow feels perfectly in line with what we were just talking about as far as the like tweaking some things, yeah, but not everything, and like not really knowing why or when they're going to do it. So like in that case with the character customization, like, yes, I want them to push everything forward, you know, because they're so behind on that. But if they're not going to do at the very least what, you know, Gen 7 and 8 did, then just don't let us choose clothes or hairstyles. Let us pick, yeah, our skin color and just call it a day. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's almost more disappointing to have a little bit of choice. I don't know, though. That might just be my perspective. It's real. I don't know. There's something strange about it.
Yeah.
It's almost like an illusion of choice as opposed, right, to actual choice.
Right. And I
think that's what bothers me.
I feel
me
like
it.
That's kind of these games in general is like, I love them. I'm having a great time. I have very little like complaints in terms of it being like bad or unplayable or anything like that.
It's an overall good experience, yeah, for me, for sure.
But it's just, there's so many baffling decisions to me for this game that I'm like, what enticed you to do this instead of doing the very obvious this?
Yeah. Yeah. I asked, you know, a couple years ago at this point now with Sword and Shield, which is wild to think about. I think I asked maybe Josh, maybe I asked some other guests too, what like the legacy of those games would be. And what's weird is I feel like the legacy of these games, a big part of it is going to be just like confusion over those decisions.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like as we look back on it, it's going to be like, those were really fun games, but wasn't it weird that they did this? Like, I feel like that's how I'm always going to kind of remember them, but I'll always have good feelings about it. Like, I am having a very good time playing them. More so than I even expected, since I wasn't clamoring for these individual, like personally I wasn't, but yeah, there's always going to be some head scratchy stuff over it.
Yeah, no, very, very weird.
But you're having an overall good time, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
That's good.
And like another thing that I love the fact that the Pokemon follow you, but why is the mechanic so broken?
Oh my gosh. Yo, I have a friend who I don't know if he's going to be listening to this, but if he is, he already knows that I was chuckling at him over this, but who was bothered by the scaling of the Pokemon following you. And I was like, well, they have to. Like, they all have to fit into a one-by-one box. But most of them can't keep up with you. They don't have a mechanic that allows them to teleport behind you if you have to walk towards them. Mm-hmm. So you just end up pushing them around a lot. Like it's super broken. And sometimes they just don't come back. Like, I don't know where they go or what they got stuck on, but they just don't come back. Yeah, it's really weird. I end up forgetting I can even do it because I lose them and then I just don't pick a new one. Like, it's, I don't know. It's very strange.
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm just here watching this Bidoof and then this Munchlax just try their best to keep up with me and they can't. I'm like, why would you implement the Pokemon following you if you're not going to give them the same pace as the character?
Yes. It was cute in Sword and Shield because you could still always see them.
Uh-huh.
Like, you could turn around and watch them, you know, try to catch up with you, which always warms my heart. But in this game, you can't do that. Yeah. They're just lost.
They just get caught on something, and then one time, Munchlax poofed away, and then he reappeared on a ledge above me.
Oh, no.
I'm like, bro, I'm down here.
Oh, no.
And then I had to run away, and then finally he poofed back down to me again. But I'm like, why is this so broken?
It ends up being, like, sad if you think about it. Like your Pokemon are just stuck. You've just left them behind.
I know. I almost don't want them to follow me because I feel bad. Like, they just keep getting stuck everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I think the only Pokemon I have with me that ever can actually keep up, I mean, when I had Staravia with me, it could keep up, mm-hmm, but it's flying. And then maybe Infernape can keep up, but it's about it. I don't think anything else can keep up.
Empoleon Naruto runs. It's great.
Oh my! Wait, does it? Oh, yeah, that's it so does. Great. Oh, see, I love their animations when they do that.
Yeah,
I really,
when
in Sword and
that.
Shield, I love running and then turning around and watching whatever, you know, big huggable Pokemon I chose, like, try to run back at me. Like, Clefairy's always funny. You can run away from it and it's like, but yeah, I just forget to do it. I'll have to see what all my character animations are for that reason.
Yeah.
I really wanted my Shellos and my Gastrodon to follow me, and they're just so slow. They stand no chance. poor little guys.
I saw on Twitter, like, Rayquaza and, like, Ekans, and they just, like, they Roomba themselves to you. Like, they don't even move. I'm like, this is sad.
Yeah, I saw Milotic. Somebody was running around with a Milotic, and it was doing the same thing. It was just hovering. No movement, no animation. I was like, oh. Oh.
Yeah, it's sad days.
Yeah. I'm glad we have that. Ultimately, I'm glad we have them. It's been nice. I don't know that I'll never quite know if we needed these games specifically, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I do think that pretty much, I think generations 1 through 5 are all solid choices for their own remakes, mm-hmm. right? I think it feels very natural for them to all have gotten it, especially after we got Fire Red and Heart Gold and Soul Silver, and they were, you know, they did a really good job with those. And then, of course, with the Gen 3 remakes, like, it seemed inevitable. I'll never know if this, and I don't think anybody ever will be able to decide collectively whether this was, like, the right thing to do with these ones, but I don't need a game for me to enjoy it. Like, I don't know if I needed these, but I'm having a great time playing them. Mm-hmm. So it's all good by me, you know?
For sure.
And the modern state of games, unfortunately, but also fortunately in this case, is that they can continue to release patches and fix things after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So as they're releasing these updates and they're seeing all these glitches, and there are a lot of glitches, they can at least address them for the future. So, you know, there's at least that.
This is, I guess, kind of related to glitches. Did you see the 17-minute speed run?
No, but Kyle told me about it. I haven't looked it up yet. It's amazing some of the stuff you can bypass.
Yeah, I'll find the link for you.
That would be great. It's hilarious. Because I would love to see what in the world. I mean, like, are they actually able to finish the game? Like, or do they just get their butt whooped?
Credits roll.
That's wild. That's wild. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send that to me. Yeah, I'll send I'm fascinated. It to you.
It's it's incredible. But yeah, like I said, I'm having a great time with these. I'm glad they exist, but like, absolutely, these weren't exactly what I wanted out of a Diamond and Pearl remake, especially given off of, like, Fire and Leaf Green, Heart Gold, Soul Silver, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I'm still having a great time. I'm still glad they're here, even if it's not necessarily exactly what I wanted, and, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I will stand by the fact that I feel like these exist purely because of how much we wanted them.
Kyle said the same thing, and I hadn't even really thought to evaluate that. But now that I'm hearing more people say that, I think I'm becoming convinced. Like, it feels like a natural pairing with what's coming in the next couple months.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess Legends Arceus could have technically been the stand-in or the replacement for the remake.
Yeah.
So the more I hear it, the more it does make sense
because,
to me. So.
Like, the biggest thing for me about these is the fact that Legends takes so much from Sword and Shield, like the wild area, the free roam, Pokemon out in the open, stuff like that. It's like, Legends is what you want when you take the wild area and you make it a game.
Yeah.
Whereas these are such faithful remakes. They were sent to, like, a third-party company to develop.
Yeah.
Which is unheard of for Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. It's entirely unprecedented. It's never happened.
It very much feels like a Game Freak was like, these are the games we want to make, but you all are over here just chanting about Gen 4 remakes for years on end. We'll just pay these people to make your fateful Gen 4 remakes while we work on this cool game that we want to make, and you'll be happy about that. And I am happy about that. I got Gen 4 remakes. They're, like I said, not exactly what I wanted, but they're fun and I'm enjoying them. Yeah. But it feels like, I know it's like a tinfoil hat kind of thing, but It feels to me so much that these were kind of like second thoughts.
No, it makes sense. The more I think about it, the more it makes sense. And I think my hope at this point would be, you know, because I'm sure these sold well. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they're no core series game is ever not going to. Honestly, I'll be curious to see how Arceus stacks up compared to these, simply because these are conventional core series games, mm-hmm. you know? But because these are going to sell well, I'm not expecting them to say, "Hey, Ilka, do you want to do some Gen 5 remakes?" Mm-hmm. You know, like, but so my hope is, if that is the route they go, that these are faithful because they were given to a third party company and it was sort of a proving grounds. Weird way to do proving grounds. You know, it's kind of an important property to do that with, but hopefully that they succeeded. Hopefully they will have, you know, fewer limitations if they are granted the opportunity to do Gen 5 remakes. And then at that point, if that were to happen, I just want the Pokemon company to say, "We're not doing remakes anymore."
Yeah.
Like, we've gotten to the point where it's just unnecessary. These are our last remakes. Don't ask for them ever again. Like, that's really what I want from them.
Yep.
Because there really isn't a point to remaking Gen 6 and beyond. You know, there really isn't.
Yeah, there really isn't. X and Y are gorgeous as is on the 3DS. They were 3D enough. I don't.
Yeah.
I would somewhat petition for an X and Y because I feel Kalos got the shaft.
Well, you can. I think you can revisit regions, you can like tell like, new stories. Like,
For sure. I think instead of doing these remakes. They don't always have to be like Legends material. You don't always have to go back in time.
Right.
But if you could do a Legends for Zygarde, and mm-hmm. it doesn't necessarily have to be back in time. It could be back a couple years, maybe even, or mm-hmm. it could be in like the future, or present, I guess, in that case. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
and revisit Kalos and do some incredible things. And I would love that, because like I said, Kalos, unfortunately, was the region I spent the least amount of time in. And which Same. Is sad, because Kalos is beautiful.
Yeah, but, I agree.
But yeah, I 100% am on board with no more remakes. We'll just revisit these regions in new games and new play styles and whatever it may be. Because like, I don't need remakes.
Nope.
But I love going back to regions and experience familiar things, but I don't need a faithful remake. So yeah. I'm down for revisits, not remakes. Make that a hashtag. Yes.
I'll get it going with you.
Okay, cool.
Because my hope is that Legends and Journeys are indications of where we're going with the series, mm-hmm. and not anomalies. Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. So well, time will tell, and I am certain that we will talk to you again when Arceus drops, because I can't wait to get your thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it.
I can't believe it's only a couple months away.
Yeah, I know.
Barely.
Yeah, it's a month and some like days, right? Away.
Oh my gosh. It's wild.
How is it? Ready, how is it December?
But I'm so ready.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah, yoy. All right. Well, in the meantime, thank you for joining me for this episode, Rye, mm-hmm. On this adventure along the victory road. Where can people find you if they would like more Rye?
You can follow me on Twitter at Collector Shuki, and that's about the only place I'm at anymore. I do have a YouTube channel that's kind of just floating along in the ether. If you want some random shenanigans on a Friday night, you can search up Geek Each Week on YouTube. We air Fridays 10 p.m. Eastern time, cool. By the way.
yeah. Fantastic. Check all that stuff out. It's all good stuff. And if you like what I'm doing here on Victory Road, you can find more of what I'm doing on Twitter at Ikibooley. That's Ickybooley, or on my other podcast, Walloping Web Snappers, which is a Spider-Man cartoon podcast, Falling with Style, which is a monthly Pixar movie marathon, and Novel Gaming, which is a podcast about books, video games, and other pop culture. For information on this show, be sure to find us on social media at Victory Road Pod. And if there's something in the world of Pokemon you know a whole lot about and you'd like to appear on the podcast, or if there's just something, topic you'd like to suggest, just let me know. Until next time, I am headed back to the Pokemon Center to heal up after spending far too much time on Mount Coronet. I will see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.